Well, hello, all you wild and crazy motherfuckers. This is the Shit Show with J-Bo. And here's my theme song. Okay. I was just kidding. My theme song comes later because I have to segue it from basically this. I have to use it as a segue. I just remembered. Sorry, it felt like I wanted to do it, and it would have been really great. But I'll play it just in a few minutes. I got to talk a little bit about some things. And then Dave, the Politico, will be coming on with me. We had a conversation a few days ago. Sorry, I couldn't get this up yesterday. I was just too damn tired, man. But today I had a little bit of a shame spiral as well. It's been a little rough these last few weeks for whatever reason. And I was just like, I was driving and I was feeling unfulfilled. And I didn't know what to do, and I said, fuck it, I'm going to Burger King. So I pulled into Burger King, and I've been really good about my diet lately, as some of you know, but I was not good about my diet today. I had Taco Bell for lunch, and about 3 hours later, I had Burger King. Burger King has this special, it's like 5 for $4, and it just seemed like it would hit the spot, and I'll tell you what, it really did. We had French fries. Like a small order of French fries. We had a chicken sandwich, like a mini one. We had a chocolate chip cookie. Chicken nuggets, not McNuggets, for obvious reasons. And a Diet Coke. I always go with the Diet Coke. I feel a little bit better about myself. And it was fulfilling. And I figured, you know what? Fuck it. Maybe the end of the world's coming. Coronavirus. My girlfriend left me. My mom died. My dad's in a fucking mental institution. So I'm going to just indulge myself. And it actually felt really good. Then I came to my place that I hang out here while I'm in Cumberland, Maryland. And I crashed for a couple hours. And all of a sudden, I'm feeling okay right now. You know, it's funny. Just let things go a little bit. Try to get through them. You know, treat yourself, bitches. And maybe you get through it and maybe you feel better. I mean, ultimately, you have to work on your life and make yourself happy, or, you know, really make yourself satisfied in a broad sense. But those little moments, they're important to get through. Coronavirus, I'm feeling a little bit of anxiety. I'm sure you guys are too. Every day, something ticks up just a little bit more societally, and it's something I've never really dealt with. The only thing I can compare it to is maybe when an earthquake hit Seattle. You know, and I was in a restaurant, all of a sudden, the mirror in front of me shaking, and the guy next to me looks over and goes, did you kick the fucking bar? I said, no. And all of a sudden, it was like I bounded off my bench, or my little bar stool, and I didn't realize, but I kicked it over. I found out later, kicked it over, walked outside. It felt like I was walking in a canoe. You know, like it was just something totally unexpected, something I've never experienced before, much like a global pandemic. I mean, I remembered hearing about SARS, bird flu, and they never came and got me, and it wasn't the end of the world. I heard about them, but I didn't pay attention. It was before I was obsessed with the news, before we were all mind controlled by these devices in each one of our hands. And so I didn't even think about it. And it never bothered me. So, to be honest, maybe that's the way to go right now. I'll take universal precaution and go about my fucking day. And maybe you guys should too. Although I did stock up on some SpaghettiOs and water. And I'm going to go to the store tonight. I'm going to get a bunch of rice, salt and pepper, so I can salt my rice just in case I'm stuck eating rice, you know, for a couple weeks. I don't know. It doesn't seem likely. I want to get some multivitamins and a couple jars of peanut butter. And honestly, like, as long as I can cook the rice, I'm fucking good to go. And I've got SpaghettiOs too. So canned goods, chili, you know, whatever you like, man. Just go out and spend about $50 and hunker down. I mean, there's places in Italy right now that are actually quarantining, like, massive, like, you know, people. Like, every county in Italy, every state, you know, whatever they're called over there, every territory is, I believe, on quarantine. It's just as bad as it is in Wuhan. And Whew. Yeah, it's touching every state. I don't know. Like, I don't think I would be affected. I'm very healthy, actually. I eat fairly decent most of the time, except for today, as we've gone over. So I'm not worried about it personally, but my grandmother is at home and my dad's in this nursing home, and I don't know if there's anything I could do. I got some masks. I told my grandmother if she goes out, start wearing them. But then you start wearing a mask, people start panicking. Today, I talked to my buddy John Fox in Seattle, and he's actually going to get on the show sometime soon with like some direct, testimonials from Seattle. He works for the Park Service. He has some crazy ass stories, but he said like all his like masks and hand sanitizer from like the national park barrack there, the barracks or whatever you call them, have been stolen by homeless people. Today I went to shake one of my boss's hands and he wouldn't shake my hand. He gave me an elbow bump. And so things are ticking up. Stock market's crashing. It's going to be very interesting. I'll tell you what though, I'm going to make some great music. I'll tell you about that. I'm going to make some great podcasts. I'll tell you all about that. You'll hear about that. We got the lock on all things magic. We got the lock on all things tragic here at the Shit Show with J-Bo. So how the hell are each and every one of you? You guys feeling pretty good? I know you're not panicking because my audience is not the type of people to panic for sure, but there's probably a tinge of like the unknown, but that's okay. We'll get through it, even if it touches the entire population, most of you will survive. That's the good news. Let's just jump off topic real quick. I wanted to talk about dating apps. Are you guys on dating apps like Tinder or Grindr or Gristle or I found one recently called Cougar D, and I guess it's for cougars, and I don't know. I didn't find any cougar. I mean, generally speaking, these people know exactly how to make money, and they're just scams. Like whoever's running these stupid ass dating sites, Tinder's probably the best. I don't know. It's the best free one anyway. And I recently, I have not had no. I hung out with one Tinder person like a month ago. When I got there, the person did not look like their profile. I was not attracted to them. They ended up kind of being attracted to me and telling me they slept naked. She, I'm saying they as if it might have been a guy, but I'm just going to be honest, it was a girl. And I just wasn't interested, This person was insanely depressed, insanely depressing. Smoked like a chimney, was drinking in the middle of the day, had a lot of cats, and a really crazy roommate that had been up on some like attempted murder charges or something. Like it was kind of nightmare. She was a nice girl, really. And I told her, maybe in the future we'll hang out, but the truth is, that's not going to happen. Because Tinder, I don't know, people try to fool themselves and talk about, they want a relationship, but why the fuck are you on Tinder? If you want a relationship, how bad has your life gone that you're searching out a fulfilling and loving relationship on Tinder? We all know what Tinder's for, okay? We're just fooling ourselves. I mean, I don't know. Actually, one of my cousins did find true love on Tinder, although he didn't show up to their wedding, but whatever. So I've had a few aborted dates. That was actually not a date, but the woman I was telling you about, the depressed woman who sleeps naked, I actually did her right. I didn't do her, but I did her right. When I went over there, I was like, this is like a date. I'm gonna treat this girl. I ordered us a pizza. I ordered some Diet Coke, which might still be in my car actually, and I was just a gentleman. It's weird, like you say all this like dirty shit, via messaging or something. Then you meet the people and they're just people and they're actual people. And then you just get real and the fantasy goes away. It almost would be better just to have the fantasy jerk off and never see the person, in this particular scenario. Actually, it would have been better because I wouldn't have wasted money. Maybe that sounds horrible. I'm sorry. But recently I had another dastardly date potential, and it was this person named like Baru or something, or Bamu. I don't remember the name exactly. And it's never a good sign when you aren't sure if it's a female in the picture, you know, and the angles are all weird, like super, like angles above the head or like blurry or whatever. And, you know, so I started texting with this person and I wanted to know, the picture seemed suspect. It all just seemed a little suspect to me. So I wanted to like talk to her on a video chat to make sure it was a real person. So anyway, I never did. And whatever, it seemed believable why she couldn't. She had to go to work or something. And so we talked throughout the day and she's like, "Are you crazy? Are you on drugs?" She was like Iranian, which is Persian. And I said, "No, I'm not. Well, I might be crazy. I'm on caffeine, but no, I generally don't do drugs. And by the way, shit show with J-Boers, I don't, aside from caffeine, I very rarely even drink. Like I'm kind of a teetotaling dickhead. Real stressed out. I probably should drink more, to be honest. I should probably, I've had these thoughts of laying off caffeine and trying to drink like chamomile tea and whatnot. But anyway, this woman, quote unquote, I was going to meet her in Pittsburgh. You know, I was going to give her a ride home and, you know, some things were going to happen or, you know, one thing leads to another in conversation. And I drove the whole way to Pittsburgh and she texted me and was like, "I'm on my way out." And she said, "I have a yellow bag." And I just looked over and we caught eyes, you know, from like, it was about 40 yards, 50 yards, like 40 yards probably. It was across the way and we caught eyes and like immediately I just like, whoa, I was like really, really wide face, really, really manly thighs. Oh man, I'm fucking out of here. So I just, I saw her. I don't know. Like I was just paranoid that it was a guy really, you know, I don't think that makes me some kind of transphobe. It's just, I'm not into it. And I didn't want the person in the car, you know, and on top of it, by the way, we were talking, she wasn't like she or he. I think it was a she, though. I hope it was a she. I don't know. I don't care at this point. I never met with her, but it was no sweat. You know what I'm saying? I didn't like leave this person hanging. They were getting off work, and then I was going to go ahead and give them a ride home. But they had a, I'm sure they could have got the bus or something. They weren't counting on me. You know what I mean? And so I hauled ass, and this person starts texting me. Baru, I think her name was, and "Where are you going? I think I saw you." And I said, "Oh, sorry. I got cold feet." She's like, "Oh, maybe you just saw me and didn't like what you saw." I said, "No, that wasn't it for sure. This isn't me. This isn't my type of gig. And I'm sorry." She's like, "Oh, it was a big scam, a big joke. You're all the same. All you guys, I'll never understand." And I'm like, "I'm sorry. Nothing personal. I'm just not into it." So then I had to drive the entire way back. You know, I drove the entire way back. A whole hour. And that was my aborted Tinder date. And Tinder just sucks. I mean, God, maybe, you know, it was pretty good like 4 years ago when I was single 4 years ago. Maybe I'm just getting older. I mean, I know I'm getting older, but maybe that's it. Maybe I've crossed the threshold of, you know, desirability on both fronts. I hope not, to be honest. I kind of feel like I could get a haircut and, you know, continue working out and, you know, play a few open mics, hit a tanning bed here and there and be back on the market. But, yeah, who knows? Anyway, silly ass stories. So, me and Dave, like I said before, we had a conversation about politics, about Super Tuesday, about this, that, and the other. And, I really want you guys to listen to it. How about it? Okay. And that's that. I want to thank you guys, and here's, shit, I want to thank you guys for listening for the next half hour to me and Dave. Man, he really lays it down on this one, and I do as well, although I started thinking about, like, the manner, when I do these phone interviews, like, not interviews, but, like, talks or interviews with Dave or with whoever, you know, Alex Jones's wife or Jeremiah Green, whoever, that because I'm using the speakerphone, and I can't really hear my own voice. It appears as if I'm like shouting like an idiot into the phone, you know? So I'm going to try to get a better setup for you guys. I was on this podcast a while back, a guy named, I forget his name, but Dylan something. But it's not Dylan Larson, is it? No, that's a different guy. He just talked to me on his phone, and he had on my phone rather, and he had an amazing sounding setup on his computer. So I really am going to try to improve my sound quality. But anyway, bear with it. There's some good information. Dave edited it nicely, as he said. And he said it's pretty good, so I believe him. Anyway, this is the conversation, the political conversation concerning all things mainstream political that me and Dave had about 4 days ago. All right. And for real this time, here's my theme song. Welcome to the shit show, baby. Welcome to the shit show, baby. Welcome to the shit show. I know you feel at home. We got love on all things magic. We got love on all things tragic. We got love on the whole thing. I know you feel at home. I got some coffee ready. I got two oranges on deck. I got my internet pulled up. Mitch McConnell's face is on my screen. What are you doing?
I'm looking at a map of the Democratic nomination.
Yeah, like a map of the U.S. or a map of like to victory by the folks running.
Well, it's a map, and it shows. So if I scroll over certain states, it shows the results from those states.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
What are you thinking, man? What are you thinking about these states? What's piquing your interest, man? What's interesting to you today regarding Super Tuesday?
Well, it was a Joe Biden blowout. It was the Democratic Party deciding that they were going to band together and not let Bernie Sanders even sniff the nomination. And it worked somehow and very powerfully, to the point where I think Bernie's pretty much done.
Which is crazy, considering where we were 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I think I have this little really half-assed theory that it's going to be all about the VP choice. Now, they know, those people who banded around Joe, there's no way they would do that around that guy. Unless he's playing a real long game of, like, playing dumb, and then he's going to come back and, like, kick some ass, which I seriously doubt. I think his VP choice is going to be like something, you know, out of a movie, just Michelle Obama. I mean, there are rumors of that, but something that, I mean, why else would everybody rally around this particular guy? You think there's any credence to that, Dave? You think it might be the VP choice?
I think that will come into play, but I think they rallied around him because he had the best shot to win. What he did in South Carolina showed that he could have a base of support in the South. And look, it's just, you know, they couldn't have Bernie Sanders. I look at it like this, okay.
Yeah.
If you look at the map of Super Tuesday, Bernie was able to win essentially Democrat stronghold states like California, Colorado, Vermont, and that's kind of about it. And those are states Democrats would win in the general election anyway. Where Biden wins Texas, which was a real surprise, but he wins North Carolina, Tennessee, Alabama, Arkansas, Virginia. He won Virginia really big. Those are states that Republicans would typically take in the election. So if you're the Democrats, do you want a guy who's strong in states that anybody with a D next to their name can win? Or do you want somebody who can actually hold their own in these Republican states that you need to win? You need to win Virginia if you're the Democrats. Bernie makes that a dicey proposition. You need to win Texas. Democrats don't need to win Texas, but they need to win North Carolina. They need to win Minnesota. Bernie Sanders doesn't win North Carolina.
No.
Joe Biden could. Tennessee, Joe Biden doesn't have a great chance, but he has a much better chance than Bernie Sanders.
I mean, we're talking about the black support in the South mainly, right? I mean, that's Joe's big advantage because he ran with Obama, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Name recognition. It's just the Obama deal. You think Obama will come out and give him a little nod at some point?
After the Democrat primary is over, I think he will. When it's the Democrat versus Trump, Obama will support the Democrat. He is not, he's trying not to support one Democrat versus another. You know, he wants to be sort of independent amongst Democrats. But when a Democrat goes up against Trump, I think Obama will probably campaign a bit. So, you know, I mean, to me, it's looking like Joe Biden. And I say that, you know, because, well, he's in the lead by 900,000 votes. I mean, he won Virginia by 400,000 votes, which is crazy. He's won Texas by 4.5%. You know, I really thought he would do poorly in Minnesota and Massachusetts. In Minnesota, because you have sort of your Ilhan Omars and your more progressive, historically a more progressive state. And Biden won that by like 9 percentage points, which is, I was shocked. He won Massachusetts, Biden did, which is a pretty liberal state, by like 7 percentage points, by 100,000 votes, which really says more to me about Bernie Sanders than it does Joe Biden in terms of, you know, really the Democrat base realizing what they were getting with Bernie Sanders.
Right.
And coming to terms with, okay, are we this progressive wing, the squad, you know, AOC plus three, is that who we are as a party? And they all said, no, that ain't us. You know, we're trying, you know, we're not what essentially they've purported themselves as being over the last 4 years or even more as a super progressive party. You know, you go back to the first couple of debates,
right,
and they were super liberal, and they've moved towards the center ever since. You know, they all raised their hands for giving free health care to undocumented immigrants. You don't hear that shit nowadays. At least it's not like part of the messaging. So I think they realize, A, if Sanders goes into this election, he's going to lose badly, and B, that's not who we are. You know, we're not a socialist party. We're Democrats. And I think Joe Biden, one of the good points he made in the last debate was, hey, we're the Democratic Party. We need to vote for a Democrat. And Bernie Sanders, he ain't a Democrat. And Mike Bloomberg, he ain't a Democrat either. He's a Republican. So let's vote for a Democrat.
Yeah, I mean, all good points. I can't imagine Biden has a lot of baggage, and everybody's saying this, I'm going to say it, I'm going to repeat it, and I'm not saying it to be mean to Biden. I actually don't think Biden's a terrible dude. But it seems like he is in some kind of fairly severe mental decline. He was on stage with a whole bunch of very nice people for the most part. But as he gets exposed more, they bring up this quid pro quo again, all these, you know, things that were probably liberal in the day but now seem very conservative. You know, on top of the fact everybody on my Facebook feed hates Joe Biden, I'm talking like both the left and the right. And the left hates him even more because they fucked over Bernie. I don't see it going well for him at all, needless to say, on a debate stage with Trump. What's your view on that once it comes down to him, assuming he is the guy? I mean, it sounds good on paper. He was with Obama. But realistically, I don't think the guy can handle it.
So he's got a 10-day runway to not screw himself. He'll probably be quiet, but the next debate with Bernie is on March 15th, which is the first time he'll take any heat whatsoever. In between now and then is a Michigan primary. So if he wins Michigan big, you start to wonder whether Bernie even shows up to that debate, or if this is over altogether on the Democrat side.
Well,
assuming Bernie,
you think he could drop out that quick, huh?
Maybe. I mean, if he gets totally smoked in Michigan by 20 points, then he might. But he's Bernie Sanders, he's a stubborn old coot, so he might be eyeing that debate, because that debate is really his only chance to make a comeback, to get up one-on-one versus Biden, versus that declining old man, and really take it to him. And Joe Biden flubs it big. If that happens, then Bernie has a chance, although it would be slim.
I would like to see Tulsi Gabbard get a couple of delegates. Like, I know she got one from Samoa, American Samoa. And if she could make, maybe if Bernie dropped out, if she's like, well, I'm still here, I'm not dropping out, and she debated Biden, that would not go well for Biden. It would be really funny, though.
That's true. However, I think what it will end up being is Bernie Sanders versus Joe Biden on that debate. If Biden doesn't screw the pooch too badly, if he doesn't start talking about his grocery list from 1983, then he'll probably be able to hang in there and just take it. But your real question is, what does Trump do to Biden? And then what happens when Biden gets on stage with Trump and that those debates? And what happens when somebody brings up that thing that became taboo of the videos of him just being really creepy, you know? Like, once that goes viral, I don't know. You know, Joe Biden starts to look pretty bad. He made a deal with the Democratic Party, essentially, hey, I'm a blank slate.
Yeah, right.
I'm an empty vessel.
Yep.
I'll do whatever you guys want. And so he's got the Hillary Clinton people have his back. I mean, Terry McAuliffe was on CNN Super Tuesday night and was just, I mean, looked like he was soaked in rum, just spouting off to Joe Biden, like really getting everybody's face. And that guy is a Hillary Clinton, you know, one of her inner circle. Klobuchar and Buttigieg dropped out, and they, you know, that same day supported Biden. As soon as Biden won Super Tuesday, Bloomberg dropped out, supported Biden. So you have a situation where they all coalesced and are handing him the nomination. Now, what do you get out of that? Well, you get a Biden presidency, you get Klobuchar as Secretary of State, and you get some whack policies from Beto O'Rourke handling the gun issue, which is what Biden
said.
That's
sketchy. That's a sketchy situation there.
And that's one of those things where it's, how can you trust Joe Biden to make decisions like that? I mean, he probably doesn't realize that Beto had the most radical gun policy. You know, he probably realized he spoke about it a lot, but I don't think America would support Beto O'Rourke running our policy on gun control. He's a true radical, and Biden has thrown out some radical ideas, radical left-wing ideas, and that'll come up too. You know, I mean, just there's video of him saying some crazy shit.
You can easily see a commercial like, I am no Politico, I am no marketing guy or whatever, but you could see a commercial where Beto goes, yeah, we're going to take your guns, mixed into Biden saying, this man is responsible for the gun situation. You know, like, that's it. Like, that's.
That would be a very effective ad, probably, yeah.
So what about Liz Warren, man? Who do you think she is going to endorse? I mean, on one hand, I feel like anybody who endorses Bernie does not have any love from the Democratic Party. I mean, that's clear with Tulsi Gabbard. She endorsed him in 2016. She was hated after that. But then again, she'd be a total hypocrite for not endorsing Bernie. And I don't know, where does she go from here?
She got shellacked in Massachusetts. She came in third in her home state. So we talk about how the Democrat Party has coalesced and really come together in a strong fashion. And so what Elizabeth Warren needs to be thinking about is her reelection in the Senate. And is she going to be supported by the Democrat Party in that reelection? If she's not, she's going to get beat. If she is, she has a chance. So eventually she will support Joe Biden, and she will never support Bernie Sanders. You know, we talked about it for a long time that she sort of saw that there were two lanes in the Democrat nomination. There's the Joe Biden lane, which we called out pretty clearly, the guy who can get the African-American vote in the South, the guy who can get Pennsylvania and Michigan. That was one lane. It was essentially Joe Biden. And then you had the progressive lane, which appeared much stronger 6 months ago than it does now, of Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. And Elizabeth Warren kind of copied Bernie Sanders and tried to, like, paint herself as, well, I'm the progressive who can win. I'm not the angry old white man. And that did not work out well for her. But I don't think she's probably as progressive or, you know, socialist as she was saying. So I think she's going to kind of slowly creep back into the fold of the Democrat establishment, maybe try to become Secretary of Education if she's not liking her chances of winning the Senate. You know, she'll come in and certainly support Biden for the presidential campaign. But she'll take her time.
Maybe she'll just lay low until it sorts itself out, then whatever's convenient she'll do, you know.
Right, yeah, she'll go on a vision quest, smoke some peyote.
I was just watching something right before our talk here, and it was Trump, and it looked like he was very casual. Actually, like, without his tie, he looked kind of cool. He looked, I don't know, it was something on Fox News, and they asked him about Liz Warren, and he basically blamed Bernie's losses on Liz Warren, and he says, like, they asked him if there will ever be a woman president, and he said, well, possibly, but she had a lack of talent. You know, he said, well, she destroyed Mike Bloomberg. And then he's like, but in the end, she's just a really mean person. You know, he's like, I think America needs somebody like me who is not a mean person. And then he gets up and walks away. It was classic Trump, dude. Really funny.
Yeah, he's been going after Warren for a long time, and it seems to have worked.
What seems to have worked? Just his whole...
Well, I mean, Warren turned out as a failure, you know? And Trump had been going after her for quite a while. And, you know, you could easily have seen a scenario where she had, you know, Bernie had a heart attack, and Liz Warren was essentially in the lead in the Democrat Party. And then, yeah, like you said, the squad came out and supported Bernie.
Right.
So if that hadn't happened or hadn't taken hold, she would have been the front runner. And if Bernie had, you know, more complications, or if he hadn't come out so strong after his heart attack, she would have been able to move more to the center, you know? And then this Democrat coalition would have formed around her.
Easily. So, I mean, and like, I would say they would rather have her than Biden by far, right?
I think so. I think she, well, yeah, I mean, I think she's not a great debater, but she's probably better than Biden, and she's smarter than Biden. Well, I don't know. I think Biden has a better chance against Trump just based on the map, but I think she's smarter. You know, she's a more competent person than Biden is.
Once again, it feels like AOC and the squad, despite their intentions, have ruined the woman's chances of getting in there. AOC also was not paying her Democratic dues. Is that correct? And so the DNC was very, very pissed off at her. And then she's opening for Bernie and saying all these super radical things that you're not supposed to say. And Bernie had to quiet her down. I mean, I think AOC may have had a fair amount to do Bernie's demise.
Well, it turns out that the broad swath of America does not like, not necessarily AOC as a person, but her policies and the radical left. I mean, that was, to me, the main takeaway from Super Tuesday is 70% of America, 75% of America, Democrats included, or even 70% of Democrats, are not down with AOC. They're not down with the Green New Deal. They just think it's ridiculous.
Right.
They're not down with socialized medicine because you're going to take away health care from 180 million people so that an extra 10 million can get it. And that's just math.
And we've talked about before, like the Twitterati, the blue check marks, people bowing to that philosophy and not realizing that there are a hell of a lot of people not on Twitter who have the same vote as those, that small amount of contingent on Twitter, you know. So maybe that's part of it too. You know, it's just bowing to that online hysteria on what is considered woke. But I mean, I will say Bernie Sanders not taking over everything looks like a victory. You know, for America, mm-hmm. at least how it was. So, I mean, I don't think it's a bad thing. I mean, I obviously would like to see Trump stump Biden's ass. You know, Biden thing isn't terrible for America. Did he beat Bernie?
I agree 100%. That was sort of my number one takeaway. I was sort of rooting for Bernie because I would like to see Trump really smoke him. But you kind of got to see Bernie get smoked. This was like Super Tuesday was a microcosm of what Trump would have done to Bernie, except Trump probably would have done it worse.
Right.
Looking at the map. But yes, I agree. It's good that America doesn't want to be socialist. And I guess it's good that we found that out sooner than later. But I have concerns about a Biden administration. I have concerns about an empty vessel running the country. Somebody who he's clearly not all there.
Well, he won't be running the country at all. He's the opposite of
right.
Biden. Trump does his thing. Biden will not. Trump said in some rally that they were going to put Biden in a home if he gets the White House, and the radicals would run the ship. You know.
I think that's a great point, and that's something Trump needs to make over and over again. It's not just the radicals; it's the deep state, quote unquote, you know, it's the bureaucratic state that has been trying to run rampant. And under a Biden administration, they would be able to. I thought the same thing about Hillary Clinton. If Hillary were elected, I think she would have been just nursing hangovers all day while she just let the apparatus of the bureaucracy run the country. So, but I think this is a similar but different situation. Where, I mean, you saw people in the Trump administration taking papers off his desk so he couldn't get certain things done. You remember that?
No, I don't remember.
Yeah, that happened. Like one of his former chief of staff or somebody took some papers off his desk, essentially stole from the president. But in this case, I mean, I could see the president having a meeting with a foreign head of state, and then they finish the meeting, and then the foreign head of state goes into the real meeting with the team, with the guys who run Hillary Clinton's campaign. And, you know, like, so it's that makes me nervous, right? Where we wouldn't know who the president was. We would have a band of bureaucrats and Washington people running the country, and that would be the end of democracy, where you're electing a figurehead instead of a president.
You know, you're saying all this, and as smart as you or I may be, this isn't like news. Everybody sees this, right? So this can't be good for the perception of Biden's campaign. I think there's – my point is I don't think there's any way he wins. I don't think there's any way that happens. I think it scares everybody. It's so obvious what's going on with that dude. But I guess he was the only choice between him or Bernie. And so people had to coalesce around him instead of Liz Warren, because that would have been – she was too far behind. Or Tulsi Gabbard, obviously, who I may have even voted for, you know, possibly. But, you know, you hear that Trump is very unpopular. You know, I've heard that all the time, this and that. I honestly, from my heart, don't see any way Trump loses this election to a guy like Joe Biden.
I wouldn't be so sure.
You're one of those people. No, I'm kidding.
Well, I mean,
I mean, again, I wouldn't bet my life on it, but I just, as far as the zeitgeist, as far as like the energy, you know, what I see with people, I don't know. I don't see Trump losing, especially since he's an incumbent. You know, I didn't make that bet when he fought Hillary, you know, because there's so much against him. But now I think there's much less against him and even less of a competent debater, you know, adversary. Except he's a man, I guess, you know, if there's sexism, you know, like maybe people, there was sexism and that got Hillary booted out of there, you know, saying she was shrill and whatnot. But so you think you're not concerned about that? You think there's a decent chance Biden could take this? Or what's your opinion on that?
I agree with you. And I will agree with you more as time goes on and we start getting into the actual election and debates. And the more Joe is out there, the worse he'll look, probably. The more he's scrutinized, the worse he'll look. But on paper,
right,
and looking at these states and these numbers, and can Joe Biden win North Carolina? That's a question you got to ask, because Trump won North Carolina last time. Yes. Can Joe Biden win Florida? Yes. It can happen. And he,
Pennsylvania,
Michigan, you know, like this is the guy, the only guy who could beat Trump. And on paper, you know,
right.
That's without taking into account who he is, and he's a disaster. So when you have the media and their narrative and it's always, you know, and they, you have the credibility of being the party nominee, then you have a built-in gravitas, and it takes something to lose that amongst a large group of people. People have to be paying attention to realize that Joe Biden couldn't remember his phone number.
I enjoy his stories. I mean, I could listen to Joe on a podcast tell his stupid stories for a long time. They're very entertaining. I mean, there is a certain amount of like charisma he has, like in a way.
He's kind of like Quentin Tarantino. His stories are all very violent. You know, they always end in fisticuffs and there's
fucking
chains being
corn pop wrapping a fucking chain around Corn Pop's head.
You know, giving Corn Pop noogies and stuff.
Well, like the story about Corn Pop, and I would urge anybody listening to this podcast to go look up Joe Biden Corn Pop story. Joe Biden really kind of pussed out. Like, he had a chain on him, and he apologized for saying the things he did, but he didn't apologize for kicking him out. And really, like, he should have been like, I don't apologize for shit. You're a scumbag. And, yeah, and then he would have got his ass beat. So he kind of, like, kind of pushed out with Corn Pop, I thought, you know, in that story.
Well, you call a man Esther Williams and, you know,
well, that's
you got to apologize. You can't just.
Well, who the fuck is Esther Williams?
she was a swimmer in the Olympics. Or a diver. I don't know.
Yeah.
Some old person.
You wanted to speak a little bit about Bloomberg and his campaign finance, as in what he's giving to the Democratic Party in return for what?
Well, it just occurred to me, and it seems everybody on TV is saying, wow, you know, after Super Tuesday, now Mike Bloomberg is going, Mike Bloomberg has built a relatively large organization around the country and a data mining operation. Like, he's got his own essentially corporate structure that is wrapped in a campaign that has super technology and data gathering and real-time shit. And everybody's assuming that when Bloomberg dropped out, then he's going to back up Joe Biden and use that apparatus that he's created to help whoever, whatever Democrat it is, especially Joe Biden. And what occurred to me is, boy, if I wanted to support Joe Biden, all I could do is give him $2,300. But Mike Bloomberg can hand over a billion-dollar organization? Why is that okay? How does that not violate campaign finance? And I just don't know the answer to that question. They're probably, I would imagine that the Bloomberg has a legal team that looked into it and they probably found a loophole or something, but it's not okay. it needs to be talked about. Somebody needs to start talking about this, where you can't just have a billionaire come in and buy an election, which is what they would be doing. I mean, this would set essentially a new precedent where you get billionaires and I'm not funding this campaign. I actually have built an organization that I've just given to this person. What I think is there probably is some shadiness to it. There is some campaign finance problems with it, whereby you can't just have a billion-dollar organization do everything they can to support a presidential campaign. It was fine when you were running for president because that's your money.
Right.
So.
Yeah, right.
Going back to what you said about vice president, can Bloomberg fund his own campaign if he's running for vice president through this organization? So if you have a Bloomberg as vice president, you get the billion-dollar organization with the data feeds and shit. If he's not vice president, then it becomes much more sketchy. So my current theory is that Bloomberg will be vice president, or at least
thrown out. Otherwise, everybody who bitched about billionaires buying an election and they go along with Biden at this point being funded by a billionaire, then they're complete hypocrites.
Well, they are anyway. Yeah. The whole Democratic Party, because they got bought. You know, he's going to move in on them with his own organization and take it over. And they would like nothing more because they're broke. So they're welcoming the billionaire. They're welcoming this thing that they always say is so bad of rich people buying elections or anybody buying elections. They are trying to buy the election.
Did you see that video of him licking his fingers and putting them back in the pizza pie?
No.
Yeah, he's like, and this is one video where you can actually see how short he is. Like, his pants look a little ill-fitting. I mean, you know, whatever. Nothing against short people, man. Like, I'm not tall, you know. But you can see his height. He's standing next to this table. And he's just eating like a nasty little kid, kind of. Like, he's just reaching his hand in something. It's like cake or some pizza. He, like, licks his hand and shoves it back in, then pulls it out, eats something, licks all his fingers like a pig, man. It's disgusting.
Man, yeah, that sounds pretty gross. Maybe that's why he dropped out.
He knew that shit was coming.
Yeah. Well, there's some pretty ugly videos of Joe Biden, too, that, you know, they'll come out. And then people have seen him, but they really got brushed under the rug. And just really creepy Uncle Joe, you know. That nobody's been going there, but I think
Trump's going to go there.
Trump surrogates will go there, yeah. It'll be big. So everybody will see those videos before this thing's over. And it'll be really hard to vote for that guy.
I mean, we're talking about a guy who – you know, right before, you know, he was going to have a debate with Clinton, if you remember. It was going to be about him saying, you know, the grab him by the pussy comment. He brings Bill Clinton's rape accusers in for a press conference and then sits them in a front row right in front of Hillary. I mean, this guy will win at all costs.
That's true. You know, what's interesting about that and something we haven't talked about is the whole Roger Stone situation.
Yeah.
Roger Stone's the guy who wrote the book years ago about Hillary Clinton really going after the accusers of Bill Clinton and really pushed that Clinton is actually anti-woman and that she has no leg to stand on when it comes to any of these issues. And if you don't think his prosecution was politically motivated, you're wrong. If you don't think the judges who were involved in his cases were somewhat biased, you're wrong, because I think there's probably 10 federal judges out there or more, 20 federal judges, who thought that under Hillary Clinton administration they could be the next Supreme Court justice. And then you got Donald Trump, with his like attack dog, Roger Stone, who everybody, you know, he wasn't part of the campaign, but he was getting dirty with it, including all the stuff about Hillary, you know, attacking women and all the things and really bringing the force behind the accusations of Bill Clinton popping up and being a real constant during that election. So Roger Stone was very involved and at least, again, not as part of the campaign, but I mean, you heard him on Alex Jones every single day or whatever. He was getting the message out there.
Well, Netflix put a hit piece out on him, basically, which I enjoyed, but, you know, put him down as exactly the sinister man behind Trump, you know?
I like that movie. I didn't really see it as a hit piece, but
I guess it wasn't a hit piece. It just painted him in that light, the sinister force kind of driving, you know, which I guess if you're a Trump fan, that's great. But if you're not, you know, it's going to look, you know, you're going to be, your bias will be confirmed, you know, either way.
Yeah, but I just, you know, they had the SWAT teams at his house and they tried to give him 9 years in prison for telling a lie about something that was totally irrelevant. They tried to charge him with witness intimidation when he made a joke to his friend. So, you know,
it's 1,000% political and everybody fucking knows it.
Right. Yeah. And it's just frustrating when you have a media that can be so obtuse when they want to be.
Yeah.
You know, they can report on the facts when they want to, when, you know, the
right.
facts are essentially what he was charged with. So that makes it real easy for them to do their job. You know, he was charged with witness intimidation, and that's a horrible thing. You can't have that, you know, you ignore the fact that, well, you know, he was actually cracking a joke via text message. It's the media. I mean, that's a whole different story, but they can be blind to certain things when it suits their message, as you well know.
That's the whole game. I mean, recently I was listening to something. I mean, it probably was something InfoWars, and all I know is it was Alex Jones screaming at the top of his lungs through a bullhorn, exactly what you're saying, but in an Alex Jones style, towards some people, I believe, on the jury or the judge, like wherever it was, maybe D.C., but it was exactly what you're talking about. Like you know the jury was corrupt. You know they were biased. He was just screaming it. And it's exactly what you're saying. It's just, you know, he was saying it. So what about this coronavirus?
Oh,
like
I don't know. I'm not a scientist.
Are you stocking up on anything?
I have purchased canned goods that I'm just gonna keep around. I got some toilet paper that'll last me a couple months, but nothing crazy, you know. There's no shortages of anything here, and I guess that's probably more my concern than getting sick.
Because you're a healthy guy, and generally that's killing off old people.
Yeah, I do have travel plans to be in a large group of people, and, you know, that's 2 weeks away. So I'm wondering, well, am I going to do that or not? So it's kind of throwing certain plans into uncertainty. And then that's the case. That's what's kind of going on with the economy right now is there's a lot of concern about people not traveling,
yeah.
The economic engine coming to a halt, and supply chain concerns out of China and South Korea and essentially shutting down. What happens when you shut down big chunks of the world economy? Yeah, but what, you know, what happens when 80% of the country, if this happens, I'm not saying it's going to, but 80% of the country goes to the grocery store and can't buy what they came for. We have never had to deal with that.
Ever.
So, I mean, during the Great Depression, and I'm sure in the 70s and stuff, when there's inflation and oil shocks and things like that. We have, as a country, had to deal with that, but not in 50 years. And we have a different population than we had 50 years ago. In the 70s, we still had people who grew up in the Great Depression who probably weren't totally shocked. You know, now you have millennials.
Well, you know, millennials aren't even that young, man. I mean, millennials are like in their 30s, I believe, right? In their late 20s and 30s. I mean, we're talking about Gen Z. I mean, they're the real ones that are going to be fucked. They've been getting all their food from their mom and dad's refrigerator.
But I think millennials are the larger group who are more in the workforce now, and they're more representative of the most powerful demographic these days. They haven't had to deal with much.
I guess I'm sorry, go ahead, man. Go ahead.
I would say, you know, neither have we. I mean, in the 70s or the early 80s was kind of a rough time as well economically, but we were, you know, very young at that point. So I think we kind of grew up knowing about scarcity, but not really having to deal with it too much.
Yeah. No, that's true. I remember in the early 80s, not like eating, you know, baked beans and a couple boiled hot dogs wasn't too out of the ordinary. You know, so those times must not have been super great, at least for people raising me. Is there anything else today, Dave?
No, I think that's it, Jeff.
Okay, man. Have a good week. We'll talk to you in 2, okay?
All right, man. Later on.
See you, dude.
And there you have it, straight from the horse's mouth. The next podcast that I put out will be a dude named Real Tall, and he's a rad dude. He's kind of similar to Alex Jones. I had a conversation with him a couple weeks ago. But unlike these political podcasts, it won't spoil like meat on the street in the hot, hot heat. If you can feel me on that one. Anyway, look for that. Have a wonderful week, and I will talk to you soon. Thank you all so much from the bottom of my heart, for listening to the shit show with J-Bo. See you next time. Oh, yeah. And once again, we'll talk soon.